You're listening to Inside Real Estate with Jessica Beggins. Each week, tune in to hear a new topic about real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell your own home, or maybe you're looking to get into the industry, either way, I hope you use this as your go-to resource for all of your real estate needs. Hey everybody, Jessica Beggins here with Century 21. I am really excited about this week's podcast episode because it was actually about a topic that I covered in a video last week on social. So out of special request from one of my followers, I brought in a mortgage broker, Chad Morris with Discount Loans. He sat down with me and discussed what the difference is between using a program like Rocket Mortgage with Quicken Loans versus using a mortgage broker. Our video has reached almost 2,000 people in just 5 days. I think it was a great topic, and I'm really excited to sum up the video for you here on this podcast. To watch that video, head over to my YouTube page. You'll find my by my name, Jessica Beggins. The video is about 40 minutes long, so be sure to pause and take notes as you need, and I'm excited to hear your feedback about the video. The first question that everybody asks me as a buyer is, what is the first step in the process? And as you've probably heard me say multiple times before, if you're already following me on social, is that the first step in the mortgage process is speaking to a lender. So in today's episode, I want to talk about what the mortgage lender is looking for from you as the buyer and how you can prepare to buy a house. To jump right into it, the first thing that a mortgage broker looks for is your debt to income ratio. I'm going to say debt to income ratio a million times here in the next couple of minutes, so I'm going to shorten it to DTI. So when you hear me say DTI, I'm actually referring to your debt to income ratio. So your DTI is made up of your W-2, before tax income, and your monthly payments that you find on your credit report. There are two different types of DTIs though. One is your housing ratio, which is made up of your house payment compared to your monthly income. When purchasing a home, you generally want your house payment to be no more than 30% of your monthly income. Say you make $5,000 a month, your house payment then should be no more than $1,500 a month. Your total DTI is made up of your house payment and everything that shows up on your credit report. This would be things like your car loans, your minimum credit card payment, your student loan payments. This is not going to include trips that you make to the grocery store or to the gas station. So this is only items that are found on your credit report. Now, when you're applying for a loan, there are different loan programs that you can qualify for. This would be conventional loans, FHA loans, and VA loans. And each loan program has a different debt-to-income level that you need in order to qualify. Conventional loans, for example, require no more than a 43% DTI, but FHA loans can go up to a 57% or 58% DTI. And these are guidelines set by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which usually allow up to 47% DTI. Now, this is important to know because when you work with a bank as your lender, one like Bank of America or Wells Fargo, you're limited to just the products that they offer. And they don't go by those Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac guidelines. They have their own. So Bank of America usually can't go as high as a 47% DTI. And banks also what we call overlays. And they charge miscellaneous fees that mortgage brokers don't charge. So when you're working with a mortgage broker like Discount Loans, they have connections to wholesale lenders and credit unions and usually have less restrictions than banks have when it comes to qualifying you for a mortgage. And they can go straight off of Fannie Mae's guidelines or FHA approvals, and banks cannot. Remember back in 2008 when loans were being given out to people who couldn't afford them? We don't want this to happen again. So lenders aren't trying to put people in houses that they can't afford, but every buyer has a different situation. Let's say a husband and a wife want to buy a home. The husband has a good job and good credit. The wife has a good job but bad credit. And having her on the loan is actually hurting their chance of qualifying for a home that they want. So when working with a mortgage broker, the lender can put them in an FHA loan where the DTI can be up to 57 or 58%. Because they can see that the wife has another, say, $3,000 of income coming in each month that can't be put on the loan. So in reality, they're actually at a 47% DTI, and they won't be in the house that they can't afford. Does this make sense? You can work the numbers a little more when you're working with a lender who doesn't have restrictions and overlays. Let's talk about online programs like Quicken Loans now. They are a direct lender, and yes, they are everywhere. You cannot watch TV or listen to the radio without hearing about the Rocket Mortgage program, right? As a realtor myself, I have worked with buyers who have been quote unquote qualified by online brokerages, but we don't have a lot of trust in their programs because at least through a broker, you know that they've been asked the correct questions in order to qualify them. Whereas when filling out a quick online application, there may be situations that were skipped over and not fully understood. For instance, a buyer who works off of commissions, you have to have 2 years of consistent income to qualify. And this is a piece where a buyer doing their online applications themselves might not be done correctly. Where if they're working with a broker, the broker's going to ask them where their income is coming from. Is it W-2? Is it tips? Are you a bartender or a server? You know, where is your income coming from? There should never be income issues once the loan has gone under contract. This should all be worked out before you even submit an offer, really. And it's the worst when the title company and the realtor, the lender, the buyer and seller are all happy. And then 3 weeks into the deal, it turns out the buyer doesn't qualify anymore. So the seller has already started packing, the buyer's canceled their lease, it turns into a whole mess. So we don't like when that happens. Unfortunately, it does happen though where the buyer can't qualify anymore, and these are situations that you guys need to be aware of. Write this down. Unless you're driving, then just try your best to remember it. But do not buy a new car and do not finance any furniture before closing because it's messing with your credit and then it affects your debt to income ratio. Also, do not switch jobs during the time that you're under contract. You'll have to start the process all over again and this will keep you from qualifying. So I repeat, do not buy a car, finance any furniture, or switch jobs while you're under contract. Got it? I just mentioned how financing a car or furniture will affect your credit score, right? We talked about credit scores with Chad in that video last week and what score you need in order to purchase a house. And the score that you need can be based on what loan program you're qualifying for. If you're going with an FHA loan, for example, their minimum credit score is a 580. Bank of America, though, won't let you qualify unless you have at least a 640 credit score. So if you have at least a 580, a mortgage broker like Discount Loans may actually be able to help you qualify where a bank cannot because they can't even qualify you unless you have a 640. Another great thing about working with a mortgage broker is that they don't charge fees like banks do. So this depends on the mortgage broker, but Discount Loans does not charge underwriting fees, processing fees, credit report fees, or application fees. And by working with Discount Loans, you can already plan on bringing $2,000 less to the closing table. They can actually usually find you a lower rate than banks can because they have access to so many different lending partners. Now let's switch gears a little bit. Here's another popular question that I get from home buyers, and that is, what is the difference between your down payment and your closing costs? This is a great question. So in the state of Florida, at closing, you need a down payment. Let's say we're purchasing a $200,000 home and we're obtaining an FHA loan. Well, FHA loans require 3.5% down. 3.5% of $200,000 is $7,000. In addition to that down payment, you're required to pay closing costs. As the buyer in the state of Florida, you pay three people at closing, and this is what makes up your closing costs. You pay the title company to close your loan and provide you with the title insurance. You pay recording fees to the county that you buy the home in, and you pay taxes to the state of Florida on your transaction. Now, in addition to your closing costs, you are also responsible for paying what we call prepaids. Prepaids are made up of 1 year of homeowner's insurance that you're paying in advance at closing. For a $200,000 house and an FHA loan, it's probably around $1,200 to $1,400 for 1 year of your homeowners. You'll also need to establish an escrow account, which consists of additional months of real estate taxes and insurance. So you'll need to have 3 months of homeowners insurance and 4 months of real estate taxes in your escrow account at closing. In total, between your closing costs and your prepaids, you're looking at bringing about 3% of the purchase price in closing costs to closing. So now, for those of you who are number driven, you've already done the math, but for those of us who haven't, we are now looking at $7,000 for our down payment, which is 3.5% of $200,000, and $6,000 for our closing costs, which is 3% of $200,000. So in this scenario, you should be prepared to have $13,000 to bring to closing. Does that make sense? Let's switch gears over to real estate for a second. There are plenty of situations where the realtor can negotiate to have the seller pay the buyer's closing costs. So if this were to happen, as the buyer, you'd only be responsible for your down payment. So make sure to speak with your realtor about this, or me, when buying a house, because that's huge. Switching back to the lending side now, there are a few services that the buyer is responsible to pay before closing. This is the inspection and the appraisal. You should budget to spend around $500 for the general inspection. To learn more about the inspections, actually, you guys should head over to my YouTube page, Jessica Beggins. I did a video with an inspector a couple months ago, but we touched base on all the different types of inspections and what age the house has to be and things like this. So definitely head over there to learn more. You should also budget for your appraisal. And this is something that the buyer pays for at the time of service. Again, appraisals are around $500 now. And the appraisal is just an opinion of value from an appraiser that your lender sends out once you're under contract. But the whole deal hinges on this because the bank isn't going to lend money over the appraised value. So this could possibly reopen negotiations even though you're already under contract. Just so you guys know, Discount Loans is running a promotion from now until the end of the year for any buyer who closes on a conventional loan before the end of the year. Discount Loans will credit the buyer back up to $525 towards the cost of their appraisal at closing. So now, not only are you saving money because you're not paying all the miscellaneous fees from other companies, but they're crediting you back an additional $500. If you're interested in purchasing before the end of the year, let me know. I'll hook you up. So in my video with Chad last week, we also discussed interest rates. Everyone is wondering if now is a good time to buy because of the interest rates. And I asked Chad to tell us what the average interest rate is right now, and he answered with the fact that there are so many different things that go into an interest rate, it's hard to give a roundabout number. There are a couple different things that make up an interest rate. This could be your credit score, the loan program you choose, the size of the loan amount, and what kind of down payment you're putting down. Anything related to risk is going to affect the interest rates. He was saying that he just did an FHA loan with just 3.5% down, around 4.75%. But then he also did a conventional loan for a condo as an investment property, and the interest rate was 5.5% because this loan was a little more risky to the lender. To make sure that you're understanding what your interest rate is going to be, you'll need to speak with a mortgage lender because your rate could change based on your financial situation. But is it a good time to buy now? Yes, because values and interest rates are moving higher. So what you can purchase today with current interest rates and prices is greater than what you can purchase next year. Your buying power is greater now. I mean, this is unless you know you're getting a job next year that's going to double your income or something like that. But, you know, as we've talked about interest rates in our meeting this morning, we were saying that collectively as realtors, we've seen an average interest rate around 4.85% recently. And next year it's going to be higher, and the prices are also going higher. A lot of people are scared to even have a conversation with a lender because they know that they won't be approved for a loan right now, but it is absolutely worth speaking with a lender if you want to purchase a house in the near future, because the way that you monitor your credit as a consumer is different than how your credit is monitored through a real estate transaction. A residential mortgage credit report is different than your consumer credit report. So by speaking with a lender, you can make sure that your score is accurate and there aren't payments on your report that need to be cleared. Lenders are also great to speak with if you want to repair your credit before you buy a house. They say that you want your credit card balances to be about 30% or less than your credit limit. Sometimes paying down your credit card to just 30% of the limit rather than paying them down completely could be all that you need in order to qualify. And speaking with a lender is like having a coach when it comes to this situation, even if you can't purchase for 6 months or a year from now. Some of you are probably thinking, well, I don't want a lender to pull my credit because then it will ding my score. So let's explain this credit ding. It's not going to knock your score down 20 points. It's only going to knock you down maybe 3 to 5 points. You are allowed to buy a house and you are allowed to shop for a mortgage. You have 30 days to shop around before you get dinged again by a different company. And once they pull your credit, it's good for 120 days. So you have 4 months to fix your credit and purchase without having your score affected again. It's impossible to find out what you qualify for in terms of a house payment unless you speak with a mortgage lender and they pull your credit. So just know it's okay. It's okay to speak with a mortgage lender. It's okay for them to pull your credit. It's all going to equal out in the end. It's also common that the Credit Karma score that we see is higher than what the lender is going to see. So for mortgage purposes, they use your middle score for your qualifying credit. And it can be a 20-point difference sometimes within the same bureau between a consumer credit score and the one that the lender gets. Like we mentioned before, you need at least a 580 credit score to qualify for an FHA loan, and it's generally around 620 to qualify for a conventional loan. And your score can vary month to month, and guidelines change all the time. So working with a professional loan officer is the best way to navigate these credit scores and make sure that you're qualified correctly in order to purchase a home. Now, this was information overload, I'm sure of it. So please know that Discount Loans has the same passion and drive that I do when it comes to helping home buyers. We do have a partnership, and the great thing about this is we work as a team. We are all working towards the same goal of closing on your new home. I hope that this podcast helped to answer a lot of your questions about the mortgage process. And if you have any questions at all, please reach out, comment on the platform that you're listening to, and make sure to connect with me on social. You'll find me at C21Jess on Facebook and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to my YouTube page for informative videos about the real estate process. Again, I hope you come here for all of your real estate needs. Until next week.